Welcome, Success Academy, to session number 3 in our series. Today and this week, we are focusing on time management and your physical space and productivity and organization, setting yourself up to win. But this is one of my favorite segments in this entire course. You're going to probably hear me say that, though, a lot, just truthfully, because each of these core success principles has such an influence to your success and your mindset, your mood, your energy, your focus, what you're creating, what you're producing. That's one of the key things I love for you to be thinking about as we talk about time management is, am I productive, right? Everyone's busy. Just ask, right? Everyone is busy, but we don't get a badge for being busy, right? We tend to glorify that sometimes as, oh, I'm so busy. I'm going to ask as your coach for you to start asking the thought process and the question, am I productive? And then therefore the question, what am I producing? What am I producing? And whether that's in my home and organization or meal prep or things of that nature, to your business, to the content, to the enrollments, to the sales and so forth. We're going to be talking about all of these core concepts, is how to be more effective with our time, more intentional, how to make those decisions, some different strategies and insights to help you. Some of my favorite things, again, around time management, productivity, focus are all tucked into this week's training. So welcome. And welcome back. I'm absolutely loving what's happening with this group and getting to know you better. I'm loving our coaching Q&A sessions. I know not all of you are able to or attending their live with different things in your schedules or time zones, things like that. But I hope you go back and listen to those recordings, because there is magic happening in those live Q&As, where some weeks certain people are asking questions, other weeks others. It's always an open invite where any of you can ask whatever you want in that space. But what you're seeing is the universal application of all kinds of various topics. And time has come up there too. I'm already talking about time management and how we want to work with these principles with ourselves. But I have found in teaching this course now a little over 8 years that I would say week 3 of all the 8 weeks is visited the most in terms of repeat and a re-listen and coming back to, because this is one of those universal topics, right? Whether you're a real estate agent, whether you're 75 or 25, or you're, you know, building a side hustle, or you're full-time self-employed or nonprofit, for-profit, you're a school teacher, whatever you're up to in the world, this aspect of time management and how to focus and get more done is one of those human needs, if you will, or those human struggles at times too that will come up. So I'm so looking forward to being with you today. Let's set you up out of the gate to help you have a great session. Go ahead at this point, log off your email. Go ahead and close it out. You don't need to be beeped, dinged, or notified every time a new email comes in. Go ahead, same thing with your cell phone if it's not currently on silent. A lot of times for me, like my cell phone's on silent 99% of the time. I don't even get a buzz, the vibrational, nope, I've turned all sounds and noises off. And even in this space, when I'm in coach mode, my phone is also face down, so I don't have any distraction that comes into my visual space while I'm in this focused mode. So set yourself up that way. Log off any social media apps, your email, silence or mute out your phone, you know, and set yourself up to be able to focus. That's one of the core things we're going to talk about today, is how to manage or eliminate the distractions to increase productivity. Is I think that's half the battle, literally 50%. And we're not going to spend 50% of the time on that one tip of 6, but that is one of the key focus areas that will help you get so much more done and focused and achieving, is to manage or eliminate distractions. Because if you constantly have those things popping up, that is absolutely slicing and dicing up your productivity and your focus and your energy. But welcome back, my loves. Thank you for what you've been sharing. Last week, we did a deep dive on vision, goals, and dreams. I'd love seeing your vision books or your vision boards or your images, the beginning of a completed version. And as you keep working on that, some of you are in the middle of a vision board or the process of that, feel free to share that at any time in our series, but I just love seeing the progress that's taking place there and what you've been sharing in our Facebook group. So let's head on to page 20 in your Success Academy workbook, and we're going to be talking about here these different key core principles. We're going to be mostly on page 21, on page 20, 21, 22 through 23, let's see, 23, yes, and page 24 is where we're going to be spending most of our time today on these core pages. So on the top of page 20, it says time and priority management. There's a quote there by Peter Drucker that says, and he's a well-known management consultant, until we can manage time, we can manage nothing else, right? Now, here's the language I really love to put towards this conversation. Is notice it says time and priority management. Is I really love to focus this thought process in this conversation on priority management. Is time management, time, we can't put time in a jar. You can't touch it right now, right? Like touch time, put it in a jar. Can you paint it? Can you see it? Can you, you know, feel it? No, you can experience time. But the reality is that time, right, this concept that we've created as humans, the reality is we can't touch it. We can't, you know, come to a space where, you know, we're just being able to capture it, if you will. But I love the thought around priority management is that we don't necessarily always, quote, manage time. We can be more intentional with our time. But to focus on priority management is this concept of imagine that you have 30 glasses on your dining room table or your kitchen counter. And then you have one really large pitcher of water. And let's imagine that the pitcher of water represents time and the 30 glasses represent various choices of priorities and where you can spend that time. Well, obviously you can say, gosh, I could put a tiny bit of time in each of those glasses, or I could make some decisions and choose priorities and decide from the 30 glasses, we're going to narrow it down to 10. And even from the 10, we're going to have maybe the top five where they're going to get more of this water and more of this attention and more of this nourishment and making some of those decisions. Stephen Covey has been quoted as saying, the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. And also this book that I absolutely love around time management, conversation, and productivity, a book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, he talks about the same thing as this concept of choosing priorities, right? Have you chosen priorities and are you nourishing those priorities? As he talks about in the English language, the word priority was introduced many years ago that meant the main thing. And then about 100 years later, we changed the word to priorities, make it plural, as if by changing the name or the word or the concept there that we could change reality. And if everything's a priority in your life, then nothing is. And so it begins with that we start to make choices, as you see on page 20, to identify our core priorities for personal and business, but to make some of those decisions, to make those choices. Another example that I love in this conversation, again, many years ago when I worked for Stephen Covey's work and the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, they would do these time management workshops all around the world. They were so well known for them, what matters most, and those time management systems and things like that. But they would do this visual image, and he taught at BYU for many years, a university. And Stephen Covey would do this example where he'd have a really large glass jar, and then he'd have a bucket with some really large stones, and then a bucket with some small pebbles, and then a bucket with some sand. And he's teaching about this again, putting the big rocks in the jar first, or in other words, your big priorities get the prime time real estate in your calendar, your focus and attention. But he would give the example that he might put in one or two big rocks and then some pebbles and some sand and try to then get in another big rock and more sand and pebbles, and it just was always a big mess if you went about it that way, versus giving the visual object lesson to see that the big rocks go in the jar first, then the pebbles, and they would trickle down and fill into the spot, and then the sand would do the same thing. But trying to create, you know, again, the hodgepodge and the randomness and so forth, which sometimes, again, being human, I feel that way. So as we talk about this, keep in mind, remember at week one, it's not about perfect, it's about commitment. If you just want to be more intentional with your time, that you want to be more intentional to have time blocks and clarity about your core priorities and what matters most to you right now, and that you're giving precedence to that. Because sometimes as humans, the things that we believe and claim that matter most are sometimes the things that get the least amount of attention, right? And so it's prioritizing that and making some of those choices and some of those decisions. But can I invite you to consider a thought of maybe perhaps a word that you use regularly, and we may want to shelf it, right? And the word isn't wrong. It's just maybe we can introduce something else instead of it. But we often talk about we crave balance, right? Like, how often have you said that? And I've said it myself many times. I still sometimes say it, is I need more balance in my life, right? You ever thought that, felt that? Have you thought that or felt that recently, right? Maybe the last week even. Is you saying, I want more balance. Maybe we intersect that or change it out for the word or phrase that I have well-nourished priorities. I have well-nourished priorities, if you'd write that down. Is I understand, we all talk about, oh, I need more balance, I'm out of balance, I need more balance. I get it. I get what we're, you know, referring to. But we technically aren't ever in perfect balance. And it's coming to, but I have well-nourished priorities. So let's lean into this a little deeper, a little further, and let's look at this first one together, is identify core priorities, personal and business. Let's go on to page 21. We have a full sheet just on this number one that we're going to go just a little bit deeper with. At the top of that, page 21, where it says identify priorities, is let's look at personal and business, right? So deciding, we're going to make some decisions. Again, we're going to choose in that we say, okay, that this is a core priority. I'm going to make some of those choices. I'm going to have that clarity. I'm going to make some decisions. And then I'm going to honor those key things. As I mentioned in his book, Essentialism, he poses a really great thought process. We said a lot of times we're not going to want to ask ourselves the question, what do I need to give up in my calendar, right? Because we don't love to give up. We all want to perhaps do all the things. You can probably relate to that at some point. Or we're thinking, oh, I want to do all the things. Or we might have FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, FOMO, that we're thinking, oh, I want to do all the things. I'm going to try to do this and that and be fully engaged in my kids' lives and schools and have them invested in several activities and run this and run that. And then I'm going to be involved in my church or a charity and sit on the board. And then I'm going to try to create and build a 6- and 7-figure business. And then I'm going to also be part of the running club and book club. And actually, I'm really committed to eating healthier. So we're going to start growing our own food and harvesting it and eating so much more from our own backyard and preparing all meals from scratch. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh, I just feel worn out even saying all of that. But how often we might be trying to live up to this unrealistic ideal that we do it all, right? I believe you can have or do anything you want, but doing everything you want at the level all the time, absolutely no. And that actually, that thought process sets you up for a lot of struggle, right, and a lot of discontent, is making some choices. So here's something that Greg presents in his book, Essentialism, where he says this. He says it this way. He says, rather than focusing on what you have to give up, ask yourself, what am I all in for? Write that down for me in your notes. What am I all in for? Now, my Tiffanyism that I would add to that is I would say, for this season of my life, what am I all in for? Because there are seasons to things. There are seasons on planet Earth. There are seasons in your life. If you have a newborn baby, that's a different season than when you have a 10-year-old. Right? Or if you have a new business that you're just launching, getting started, versus, again, a business that's, you know, 7 or 8 or 10-plus years old, it's a different place of where you're at. There are seasons to things. And right now you're in this season with Success Academy. And for this 60-day time frame, right, in second quarter of 2021, when you're here live, and whenever you're catching this replay, the same thing, whatever season you're in is asking yourself, for this season of my life, what am I all in for? Because when we really own the yes, when we really own the priority, and we say, I'm all in for this, because there are seasons where we say, hey, I'm really training, you know, for a health or fitness competition, right? I know one of our cute friends in this course is doing that. Or you're saying, I'm in the process of launching this business, or I'm doing what's called Diamond Club in my business, or, you know, I'm in school and finishing up a master's degree, or I have this newborn baby, or I'm publishing a book, or I'm out on the road a lot the next, you know, 60 days with a book tour, or whatever it might be. There are seasons of imbalance. Of course there are. But it's choosing again to say, okay, I'm choosing that for this season, what am I all in for? So ask yourself that for right now, for this season, for Success Academy, what are you all in for, personally and for business? And we're going to talk about some things. I love that this session comes on the heels of week two when we talk about vision and goals, because there's a few things we're going to connect together. But inviting you just to think about it in this way is, let's identify and own our choices and to say, these are my chosen priorities. Let's look at the first category of personal. Of course, as your coach, I'm going to say, I'm asking that one of your core priorities is your own self-care habits, right? That includes perhaps your health as well, as you can see listed there, but time for your mind, body, heart, and spirit, that you're committed to practices like the morning ritual and starting your day with intention, with prayer, reading, visualization, with a workout or some physical movement, some gratitude listening, but that you're invested in nourishing the self is one of your core priorities. Now, my hope is you'll continue that on, but I am asking, while I'm with you as your coach in lifetime, that is a core priority, that you have some of that self-time, if you will. We've also talked about the mirror work and the joy list and doing some of those things where you're feeling well-nourished and you're making those choices that help you nourish and invest in that. Secondly, under personal, you can see is health, which can go with self-time for sure. If they can get married, you can put them in the same thing. But your health is one of those core priorities, those big rocks in the jar, that our health, if it's not a priority, it may not need to be today, but with enough time, your health will make itself a priority, right? So it's one of these ideas we can be proactive versus reactive. And again, I'm not saying that there's no need to absorb any fear, any guilt. It's just choosing in, again, to see that, again, I want to nourish that priority proactively versus reactively. And I'm going to be invested in, you know, drinking more water. Maybe while you're here with me live or listening to the recording, let's go grab some water and let's get some hydration going, right? Some of you might be listening right now while you're out on a walk, or you might be doing that one on our Q&A calls, multitasking a little bit. But getting some physical movement in, time for your body, your sleep, and that being a priority, being intentional about that. Also, of course, under personal would be relationships and several other things. I just listed a few there. But you might have other things like your church life or certain causes that matter to you, friendships and hobbies and things like that. But identifying, what are your key personal priorities? Go ahead and start writing those down. You're listing those things for yourself. What are your personal priorities? And that they become that indeed, right? That we say, okay, these are my core priorities in my personal life. Looking at business, right? You have those three core business priorities that usually fall under one of those categories. Your sales and marketing activities, right? A key priority. Absolutely. Are you doing, again, back to the question, what are you producing? Are you productive, not just busy? Because sometimes we're busy in our business, but the busyness might be where, hey, we're just exchanging email, which can lead to some sales, of course, and you might be trying to find the perfect font for your signature, you know, and making things pretty and working on all of this stuff. But I'm asking you, with sales and marketing specifically, are you sharing content? Are you making calls, sending out communication, contacting, nourishing, you know, creating courses or the various things that you're doing that help you lead to sales, right? Those sales and marketing activities, what are you producing in that way? Very important. Looking at business development, Success Academy would fall under that. You've made an investment here to say, hey, I'm here to up-level me. I love that you've done that, not just because it's me and it's the course you're participating in, but as a way of thinking and being is that you want to work on the business, not just in the business. I'll say that again. You want to work on the business, not just in the business. Not business development. That could be course, any kinds of courses like this course or, you know, the course, you know, sales training or like Mindset Makeover that you all have a free pass to that kicks off tomorrow. Hopefully you've registered for that, just as a thought side while we're thinking about that right now. If you haven't yet, make sure you get registered. All the details are found in the Facebook group, or I'll just state it here. You go to mymindsetmakeover.com, click any one of the buttons, because there's three different price points people can choose in on that, and click register. It may still ask for your information, but make sure you enter code. Oh, goodness. Code, I think, is SA2021. At checkout. If not, you can use, I believe, also code VIPLOVE in all caps, and it will take it to zero, and that you've registered for that. But business development could also be that you're working on a website, you're producing, you know, you've gotten an email management system, you know, a new scheduling system, or that you're hiring an assistant that helps you with your business growth, you know, things of that nature that help develop the business. And then you have fulfillment time, right? Like right now I'm in fulfillment time of a course that I've sold called Success Academy that you're all participating in. I'm in coach mode right now. That's fulfillment time. Fulfillment time might also mean be packaging something, shipping. It could be, you know, again, you might be an interior designer and that you're doing design work, or you might get commissioned artwork happening. You know, one of you, Kelly, here is an artist, and that might be taking place, to trying to create the art that's been sold or that's been purchased as well. But again, I'm just asking you to get clear on what are your top priorities. And there's a question at the bottom of page 21 that I invite you to ask yourself and look at with some intention, as it's that strategic question is, what activities have the highest return on investment? What activities have the highest return on investment, the highest ROI? What actions or activities? When you think about it that way, therefore that helps you in making decisions around priority, right? Like for me, next week we're going to do a deep dive on what's called nourishing your network. Is you're all often just one relationship away from a really big, you know, explosion or change or something of that nature, where it can really help expand your business or connect you or enrollments and so forth. But, you know, again, whether it's still large or not, but the reality is you're all in the people business, and spending time nourishing your relationships is a core priority, your existing clients and new clients. And so when you think about the highest return on investment, like for me, speaking engagements have a high ROI, right? Me being in lifetime with people, with humans, whether on webinar or in person, just was part of an event Saturday night, and we'll be part of another event this coming Saturday, a large women in business event. I'll be in Florida next week with a mastermind of individuals and the group that's gathering there. The reality is though that for me, I'm clear and I love it. I also love to do it. But speaking live with humans and connecting is one of the most powerful things I can be doing to grow my business. So putting priority to that, right? Nourishing relationships, make sure that I do an outstanding job for the gigs that I have booked. Because a lot of times those turn into other referrals, where someone in one audience that I speak to then books me to speak at another thing, if that makes sense. Is I just know that that's something I treat with high priority, as well as nourishing friendships and handwritten notes and sending out, you know, Starbucks gift cards and spending time together and doing the things that help people feel valued. Again, we're doing a deep dive training on that next week. We'll go into that detail. But thinking and asking yourself, you might say, well, creating certain content is a high ROI activity. Getting myself a workout on personally is a high ROI activity. You ever notice after you, you know, when you work out, I'd say for me in health, two big things. If I get good sleep and workout, those two priorities, man, they make such a big bang for my buck. Experiences often I've fallen into at times in the past, the thought of, ooh, do I have time to work out? I don't have time. I'm too busy. But ironically, what we're after in life is also energy. I want you to write this down for me in your notes. Is the question, do I have enough energy to achieve my goals? Because sometimes we have the time. Let me give you an example. Sometimes we complete a work day or we get home from the office and it's, say, you know, 5 p.m. at night, 6 p.m. And we might technically have 3 or 4 hours in the evening before we're going to get ready and go to bed that we could work on our additional goals. We could work on a book we want to write, or our side hustle network marketing business, right? Or some of these are our painting or our hobbies. But sometimes we get home and we're just fried, right? Energetically, we're cooked. We're done. And so we might sit on the couch and watch a bunch of Netflix, which, again, no judgment, or scroll our phone, or fall asleep early, or whatever it might be, because we're just cooked. So, again, sometimes the issue when we catch ourselves saying, oh, I don't have enough time, or I'm too busy, let me reframe that for you. Do you have enough energy to achieve your goals? It's not only time, love. It's the energy and the time that you have. If sometimes you have more time, but you run out of steam within the time, and so you just have to go into kind of recoup mode, understandably so. So that's why when I'm saying your health and wellness and your self-care habits is, I know for me, if I invest, if I work out on a, you know, regular basis, or when I'm doing a workout, or sometimes even just, again, a nice walk and or something like that, is getting myself moving, is I tend to have more energy. So I actually end up getting more done, even though I took the time to take, you know, invest in that. It gives me more extension of energy when I'm doing those types of things. So, again, this is a big piece of this, I'm going to allow you to continue to work on and journal some of that, but what are your top priorities, personal and business? What activities have the highest return on investment personally and professionally? And those then become your big rocks in the jar. And again, sometimes they're seasonal things that you might say, well, business right now, I've really got to get this website done and finished or complete. Or I'm really training for a marathon, and therefore my running the top priority to help me be conditioned for that upcoming race is making some of those decisions for this season. What are you all in for? The main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. And using our capacity to choose and decide to say, what are we all in for? That might mean sometimes learning how to say no, or no thank you, or it just doesn't align right now, and so thank you for asking, it's just not a fit at the moment, because you're so clear about what you're about in this season that it helps you make those decisions. I think without the clarity, it's so easy to be tugged to and fro and to want to say yes to all the things, but every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else, because you truly only have so much time. And that we have to be good stewards of it. But that's number one. Let's come back to page 20. Number two, now that we're looking at some of these core priorities, let's talk about weekly planning as a strategy. And it says see mind mapping tool, which you can see that's on page 22. If you want to see a visual of that. A mind map, though, if you don't have your workbook in front of you, it looks like a wheel or a sun, a circle in the middle and then spokes out. Now, this is just one suggestion of how you can do weekly planning. I utilize a couple of different tools. I utilize still a paper planner. I love to write things down with my digital calendar because I love to write it out and to see it and so forth. And I've tried out various things, and I don't endorse any particular one. I do use currently a passion planner. I really love that. In the past, I've done a combination of passion planner pages with a Levenger system, Levenger with an L, and I really enjoyed that. But I also utilize digital, right, with my technology and my online calendars. There's various ways to do this, but I am going to invite you within. I do think there's power in your own handwriting, right, similar to writing out your goals in your handwriting, is to writing out a weekly plan. And whether you just do a piece of paper, you know, and you write out your different categories, or you use the mind map tool. And again, that mind map, I love each spoke is a different category. Right? So I do some weekly planning if I'm using that mind map, but each spoke, like a spoke for Success Academy, and then the different priorities of prep time and emails to go out and social media posts and things like that that go under coordinating Success Academy on a weekly basis. And then one spoke in current time would be the Mindset Makeover course and all the various things you're doing to launch that. And then one spoke for private clients and one spoke for this upcoming event that's taking place this weekend and prep for, you know, my PowerPoint slides and things like that. And one spoke for nourishing my network and who do I need to follow up with. And, you know, what I'm saying is you have different spokes represent different things. Now, you can use this for personal too, right? And you map out some years past. I've done, like, one side was business, one side, you know, was personal, whether you want to do a full one each side of the paper or use one for both. But, you know, again, personal, you might say, okay, things for home. Things for health or for myself, if you have, you know, children, maybe each child is a spoke in the various activities or things coming up for them, you know, or things you're involved with personally, things like that for yourself, that you're mapping it out. But some kind of weekly planning, you've probably heard that phrase many times in your life, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that the power of planning is not that life will always go perfect to the plan. It won't. I think you already know that. But when with some planning and some, therefore, intention, it's like you're mapping out your week, and you can see at a glance, here's the various priorities that are showing up for me or that matter to me and that need some precedence in my schedule. So use a mind map or write it out on, again, a blank sheet of paper in your workbook or notebook, that type of thing, that you're seeing yourself identify your different aspects and things in your schedule coming up for the week, that you're planning the priorities, if you will. And the various things. And then number three is we want to look at scheduling those core priorities and that planning into time blocks. I'm a big believer of time blocking. Let's go on to page, on page 23 in your workbook, the top there, it says time blocking. There's this quote by Brendon Burchard where he says, success is scheduled. It's that we want to practice doing some time blocking. Or sometimes this is called batching. But once you've identified some of those core priorities, and we open up that schedule and we look at blocking in sections of time that can be focused on those core priorities. Now, I do like to batch things together, right? So, like, let's say if I'm in content creation mode, that I want to stay in content creation mode, where I will, you know, instead of just doing a post a day, maybe create 3 or 4 posts for social media and take, you know, a 1 to 2 hour block to do that, and to do that once a week, similar to, say, follow-up calls or mentoring calls. So you may want to put those back-to-back. You know, it's like on Wednesdays, we get on our session at the same time and we do coaching, and I've been coaching the hour before. Is that I'm staying in coach mode, right? And so if it's, again, you're in marketing mode, so let's stay in marketing mode. If you're making follow-up calls rather than trying to do 2 or 3 here or there, is maybe sit down and do 10 at once. I'm like, hey, I'm really doing time right now for calls and reach-outs, for follow-ups, or I'm in content creation mode, or I'm working on my website, or whatever it might be, is to block some things into your schedule. I'm going to ask that you try this out this week and pick 2 time blocks, right, just 2, but that you make a decision to say, okay, I'm going to work on these core priorities in this time block, and you decide where that lives. And just try it out. Let me know what you think about it. But this has made such a difference for me. When I was first coaching in my business, I had coaching sessions all over the place, right? Meaning it was like, hey, Monday at 9, and then Monday at 3 p.m., and then Tuesday at 11, and then Wednesday at 1:30, and then 4 p.m. And it was just kind of sporadic, rather than I really synced up my schedule and I had core time blocks where I would do 3 or 4 coaching sessions back to back to back. Back when I used to do a lot of private coaching, I still do some private coaching. But even then, it's like I like to put those things into a similar space so I can be, you know, moving through that in a succinct manner. And to stay in that focus rather than, oops, wait, I do 1 coaching session and now I'm checking Facebook or, you know, trading out the laundry. And then, oops, wait, now I'm going to try to get back into coach mode while I'm starting marketing. And it's just one of those things that as humans, if we can give ourselves, again, what we're after is focus. Right? We're after, again, productivity. Your productivity is what's creating your paycheck. We don't get paid for busyness. We get paid for productivity. And so it's seeing it in that thought process that we go, how can I be more productive? And that I want to schedule myself time blocks that will help me do that. So, you know, for instance, you might say Mondays and Wednesdays are sales-related activities and marketing. And maybe your coaching or mentoring or fulfillment time, you might do Tuesdays and Thursdays and maybe business development on Fridays. I don't have a template for you to say this is how you do this in terms of exactness, meaning that you're going to say, oh, okay, this is the day I do what, but making some decisions of where does this live in my calendar? What are your core priorities? And then we go, where do they live in my calendar? So I love doing the combination, again, of some mind mapping and some time management, you know, focusing on some weekly planning matched with then doing some time blocking together. Go back to page 20 for me in your workbook and let's talk about utilizing daily planning to manage, right? Is daily planning. So again, we're looking at, we're making some decisions, core priorities. We're then weekly, we're planning out. We're now starting to time block and look at our schedule. Where is this going to live? Where is this going to happen? And then utilizing daily planning as well to support or to manage the process. And one of the concepts that I love to live myself and to coach is what I call the pick two. And that the night before, you've probably heard of night before planning, right? I mean, you can do it any time of the day, but night before planning, you wrap up your day. It can be the end of your work day, so to speak, or before you go to sleep at night. And as you evaluate the day you've come from and looking forward to the day coming up, is I invite you to choose two. This is a really good practice to get into of working with making choices, making decisions about those priorities, is to choose two, one personal and one business. To say my top two priorities for the following day are, right? And you might write those down, you might put them on a sticky note, and then place that on your cell phone or have it in your planner. But having that clear decisiveness is so valuable for the brain. It's to say, this is what I'm focused on. This is what I'm getting going and getting, you know, moving today. And as a first priority, this has top precedence in my schedule, that you make some of those decisions to say personal or for business, again, that you choose to. And you might say, personally, I'm going to do a workout, or personally, I'm going to schedule that doctor's appointment, or personally, I'm going to take my kid to lunch and be really present and connect with my child, or whatever, right? As you choose core personal priorities. and secondly, than a core business priority. That you might say, I'm going to make those 10 follow-up calls. I'm going to nourish relationships or nourish those 5 relationships in my life or in my business. Or I'm going to spend, you know, an hour on writing time working on that book or that program. That's a top key priority. But practice picking those 2 priorities, ideally, again, the night before, but even the morning of, you can do it that way, too. I just, again, I would pick that while you're still in your focus space versus getting on technology or you're out and about doing things is coming out of that morning ritual is decide what actions and activities, again, have the highest return on investment. What are my top 2 priorities for this day? Now, you're going to still have other things that you'll get into that, you know, the pebbles and the sand, but we're putting the big rocks in the jar first. And we say, great, I'm going to get my body moving, top priority personally. Business-wise, I'm going to set up 3 podcast guests for the month to come and reach out to them and send off those emails or those contacts or, you know, whatever your business priorities might be. Number 5, I already touched on this as we let out, but number 5, again, I love to star this, highlight it. It just has so much juice, is to eliminate or manage. You could write that word because sometimes we can't fully eliminate a distraction. But eliminate or manage your distractions to increase your productivity. Ask yourself currently right now, what's your biggest distraction? What's one of your biggest distractions? I mean, there's some common culprits that are out there, right? From clutter to having an overwhelmed schedule and saying yes to everything, to your technology and your notifications and your cell phone. So various ways. But asking yourself, what's my biggest distraction currently? And what's one thing you can do to manage it or eliminate it to increase your productivity? But let's look at a couple of things that you can do with this, right? Let's talk about email. Sometimes we can hear this concept, death by email, right? Is your email well managed? And let's look at a few ways we can be more productive with email. Number one is I'm going to consider you to check email at 1 to 2, at most, say 3 specific times of the day. I'm going to invite you not to check your email all day, every day, or to have it up in the backdrop on a consistent flow. I also invite you to turn off your noises from your technology, your laptop, as well as your cell phone, if at all possible. I get, if you're waiting for a specific call, there's times I'll flip my button on for a noise to come in. If I'm waiting for a call or I'm coordinating plans or something like that so I can hear it. Otherwise, I'm going to invite you to get rid of the noises. Right? But specifically with email, check it 1 to 2 a day. I remember learning this from Brenda Burchard. He's written a book called High Performance Habits, and he talked about that he checks his email later in the morning, not first thing. Even if you can see on your little cell phone image there that there's like 7 new emails that are there, or 27, or, you know, you've whatever the case might be, is to check email when it works for you. I'd say the same thing about social media, is that you have time blocks upon that. Right? We often just think we're at the whim of our technology, but imagine your grandparents or your great-grandparents, right? Somewhere in your family line, you probably had farming, right? Farming or agriculture, or at least you can follow along the example. But let's imagine your grandfather out working his crops, out working his land, or your great-grandfather. Imagine if he came in from the field 2 or 3 times a day to check the mailbox. Is there any email or check, has there been any phone calls? Now, that's manageable. We can get our mind around 2 or 3 times a day. But imagine that your grandfather comes in from the field 150 times a day to check the mailbox. Does that sound ludicrous? Does that sound crazy-making? Yep. The average adult human is touching or picking up their cell phone, smartphone, for most cases, around 150 times a day. That might sound nuts, right? But even if it's half that, 75 times a day, and even half of that, 35-ish, right, times a day. Do you see what a distraction that is? So set yourself up to win and decide, when do you check email? You don't need to check it 17 times an hour or even 17 times a day, is you just decide and say, okay, I'm going to check it at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Same thing with text messages. Now, I know we have created a culture that expects immediate response to everything, But that's on you. You don't have to immediately respond to anything. Even if for you, you go, okay, well, I'll check my text once an hour on the hour, is better than you having that noise on and it constantly interrupts you when it comes in. You might be right in the middle of creating a masterpiece and you get the ding and it distracts you and you lose the train of thought, right? So get a leash on your technology. I love technology. I mean, it's how we're connected right now, but I want your technology to work for you versus it running you, right? Some of you are a slave to your cell phone. You're in serious bondage to your technology. And there's times I get into that myself. I'm not saying that from a judgmental place, but it's to observe it as how often your technology is running your life. I mean, we're grateful for it, but I want you to have some intentional boundaries of when do you check email. Another great high-performance tip is not to check email unless you can actually respond to it at that time. That also goes through for direct messages and Messenger, similar forms of email, is not to check it unless you can actually respond at that time. So sometimes you might be sitting at a stoplight, and we see we have an email notification, and we look at it. I mean, you're not wrong for that, but then you go run several errands or whatnot. By the time you get home, you may have forgotten about it, or now you've got this window open in your brain that's thinking about the email. Is check your email when you can respond to email. That's why I also like it having time blocks. Same thing for social media. I know not all of you are on social media. Not all of you are using social media as a way to grow your business, but many of you are or want to be. But to see about social media, I love social media. But sometimes social media, it's like, oh, my gosh, I get down the rabbit hole, and if I'm not conscious and intentional about it, way too much time can be there. Versus you could time block that in, too. And maybe you do it when you do email. You check email, respond to email, and same thing as you respond and engage on your posts or things like that with your social media, is that you come back to that for yourself. But to be conscious of your different distractions. One last thing around social media that I want to say is that if you're currently getting notifications, I'm asking as your coach to turn those off. Go into settings, turn off your notifications. If you're having massive resistance to me saying that, you especially need to do it. That just gives you a little addiction insight, right, that's happening there. But I promise we don't need to be notified every time someone likes our photo on Instagram or on Facebook. It's brilliant on their part of those apps, is it pulls you back into their app. But I'm inviting us to be more intentional creators that we say, okay, I'm going to use the app when it works for me versus being constantly tempted and incentivized and seduced into coming back into this app, which then, again, I'm just going to check the one thing, right? And then you see something else that's curious and it emotionally stimulates you for positive or negative, and then you're down the rabbit hole. It's just being conscious, again, to have some boundaries around your distractions and around your technology specifically. But to be more intentional about that, definitely. Now, we could get into all kinds of things, but being conscious of what are your various distractions, let's manage or eliminate them, let's have time blocks around some of our repetitive tasks, right, like email, like social media, like returning phone calls, and those are all good things to be part of and engaging in, but we want to be conscious to do it in our intentional time. And finally, number 6 on page 20, another priority management strategy is to delegate, to enlist more support perhaps, and to delegate out various tasks, whether that means enrolling your kids in some of the things you're about or putting more things to your assistant or inviting help or allowing that to be part of your life, is to building out a support team and to delegate more, is to allow yourself to let go of some of the things that, you know, sometimes you might be looking at different tasks you're doing, and maybe that you go, gosh, that task could cost me maybe $15 an hour to pay someone else to do it, and yet in that same hour, I could potentially go earn $100 to $1,000 or more an hour. Yeah, let's pay someone $15 an hour to manage some of these tasks, whether they're things at home. Maybe it's time for you to get some home support, some housework or cleaning support or meal prep or childcare, if applicable. Or within your business, maybe it's time to hire an assistant or someone that helps you with content creation or helps you create graphics or design or things like that, that you invite some of those things into your life. Like for me, years ago, I fired myself from bookkeeping, right? It was my 4th year in business. I've now been in it 11 years. And I fired myself because the 4th year in a row that I'm like basically in a week's time sitting down with a gazillion receipts and doing QuickBooks all at once because I just didn't stay on top of it. Could I do it? Yes. Was it my strength? No. Was it my money maker? No. Was it important? Yes. And after the fourth year in a row of spending my week between, you know, Christmas and New Year's, spending too much time like trying to update my QuickBooks so my books would be ready for January for business, it was like, oh my gosh, my brain is melting. And I fired myself. And then I hired a bookkeeper, I think $35 an hour. She's great at it. She loves to do it. It's a needed, important task, but paying someone else and feeding into their personal economy, I really love to do that. But it's not my strength, right? I want to delegate the things that are not my strengths. I make money in my strengths, and so do you. And so that hour, I could be creating a new piece of content that she's updating my books for the month, right? Or that I could be connecting with a client or doing a coaching session or out on a run or doing something off my joy list that nourishes the vessel that is in the producing and the income creating experience is I want to be doing things that are in my high vibe zone, my high creation, my high ROI zone for myself and then delegating that. Am I above doing it? No. But it was just something that I regularly would struggle at. And it's okay to ask for help. Some of you, that's more of what the issue is you need permission. It's absolutely okay to ask for help. Some of you are trying to be superwoman all the time, or you want to do it all. Well, your big dreams are going to require team. They are. The big things that you want to achieve in this life, you're going to need support, whether you're enlisting in family support, friends, right? Maybe you have, you know, you trade out with someone else in your neighborhood if you have children at home. And that maybe they take your kids for a play date for an afternoon, and you get to create and do all this stuff, and then one afternoon a week, you take the kids. You know, there's various ways you can get creative. But you're welcome to, absolutely, I invite you to have support and pay for that support, too, when you can. Absolutely, is having that support in your life. But those are the six core things that I like us to look at under this priority management conversation is identifying and making choices. What are your top personal and top business priorities? What are you all in for at least this season of your life? And then practicing regularly weekly planning. If you haven't done that yet this week, I'd like you to do that today, is to look at the week at a glance. What are the various priorities and the things you want to be working on and that matter the most? And then we start scheduling those priorities and that mind mapping into some time blocks into your calendar and practicing getting in the zone and staying in the zone. Right? Darren Hardy calls it your MVPs, most valuable priorities, and that they get into time blocks of anywhere from 45 minutes to 90 minutes, and that you just crank on a priority, right? Whether, again, that's organization, which we're going to talk about next, you're organizing your space and just cranking that out, or the laundry or meal prep to content creation to sales follow-ups, right, to working on your PowerPoint slides or writing that book, is that you get into some of those time blocks. We really want you to try out this daily planning this week and beyond is choosing two priorities a day, one personal and one business. It doesn't mean you're not going to have a longer list. You're just choosing intentionally. Those are the big rocks that get in the jar first, and they have precedence. They have prime time real estate. They're in first class in the airplane, so to speak. They're going to get sat first. They're going to get invested in first into my life and into my time. Managing and eliminating those distractions to increase that productivity. Let's get some boundaries on your email, on your technology. Let's make that technology work for us versus us work for it. And finally, again, as just mentioned, we want to delegate and enlist support. These are some of the most powerful, palpable ways that you can increase your productivity, which, again, your productivity is what you're after. It's what you're producing. It helps you create and move yourself into that zone where you're creating more from that space, and you're increasing your odds of success because you're giving precedence and time to your priority. You're overcoming all the distraction of the sand, so to speak, and moving back into those big rocks. I love, love, love this session because it's just coming back to making some choices, some clarity, and then deciding where does it fit, where does it live. Some of you were asking about in the success principles as well about having these buffer days and focus days and vacation days. I love that, and I love that you're reading that. If you want to go deeper on any of these concepts or principles or have a clarifying question, by all means, feel free to bring it to our call on Wednesday, our Q&A call, and we can dialogue about it live. But I do think it's wise to have buffer days, right? Like for me, after a large live event, My next day is always a rest day, right? Or after even traveling, have you ever said the phrase, gosh, I need a vacation day from my vacation? That's what we call a buffer day, right? And you come home, you've been traveling for a full week. I like to have a buffer day to, you know, do laundry, to rest, to maybe get hit the grocery store and get some things created before I'm back in producing creative mode. Now, it doesn't always work like that. Sometimes you get a buffer half day, right, or something like that. I get it. Sometimes things, the way they're scheduled, we're moving in that fast, or fast way. But to be more intentional about how you're setting up your days, right, is when am I creating what? When is rest? When is play? It's looking at that. Now, sometimes I don't dedicate, again, a full day to that. Like you've heard me talk about joy listing, is that would be like a vacation day or a play or a rest day. It's like, yes, but having more of the time for your self-care and your joy on a regular basis is part of the habits I'm inviting you to cultivate and curate. So let's transition. We've been talking about organization of your schedule. We're talking about, again, being more effective, more productive with your time, more intentional. And I love the word intention, if you haven't picked that up yet. But I love intentional time. I also love intentional space. And I want to talk about your physical space and organization. So get out a blank sheet of paper. Again, you can use a page in the back of your workbook here if you've printed that off. Or if you've got your own notebook, feel free to capture it there. But I want a blank sheet of paper for you to come into working on this particular assignment. We're going to look at your physical space. Your physical space is an environment that influences your success. There's really, when I teach this concept at times around success, we look at three core influences. We look at your mindset, we look at your habits, and we look at your environment. But your environments are definitely influencing your energy. They influence your mood, your ability to focus and be productive. And it's fascinating, right, as humans, again, this isn't about something you're going to need to be perfect at. I'm going to ask that you not judge yourself on any of this, but just simply observe it, is looking at the way is my environment set up for me to win? Is my environment set up for me to win? Is my environment invite success? Does it inspire me? Or does it deplete me? And I love in Principle 28, in Success Principle 28, it's talking about this and around the power of creating space for the new. And having harmonious space that invites that kind of success. So let's look at this together. We live in an interesting time. Here in the United States, at least, one of the most popular investment pieces of property is storage space, self-storage. Fascinating concept, really, right? Is that people pay money to someone else to rent space to store stuff they're not using. Think about it. And you know how many times, I mean, they made all kinds of cable television shows on this where they, like, cut the lock on a storage space that no one's claimed in years and been back to, and they find all kinds of stuff, right? Sometimes really valuable stuff, sometimes complete junk, sometimes really bizarre things, right? But sometimes as humans, we're holding on to way too much stuff, or we're cluttered, or we're weighed down, or we're simply in space that no longer inspires us, right? It just doesn't. It doesn't feel good. We don't love being there. And so let's talk about creating space that invites success into your life and space that feels like joy and love and harmony and things like that. But it's to create space, and space that is in that way for us is one of those other key success principles. But I love to tuck it in here on week three because in similar vein of thought, we're looking at intentionality with your calendar, looking at intention with your space and being more organized with our time and more organized with our space is one of those key success principles. And so looking at this for yourself, in Success Principle 28, Jack talks about one of his close friends, Martin Root. He says whenever Martin is clear that he wants to attract new business into his life, he cleans out his garage, his closet, his desk. He donates things that need to be donated to Goodwill and cleans things up and bring them back into harmony and to alignment. And I really love looking at that for ourselves, right, as saying, okay, let's look at our space. The same mentor, Jack, would say this, that nothing is missing in our lives. We simply must make room for it. I love that. That's a pretty bold thing to say. Nothing's missing in our lives. We simply must make room for it. But far too often, we're holding on to items we don't use or no longer inspire us. And we have cluttered closets or pantries or a cluttered desk. And And that doesn't really invite the creativity that we desire. Now, some of you might be really well organized. That might not be something that's up for you. But I'm just going to ask that you tune in to saying, does this space inspire me? Does it feel creative? And for some of you, it might be, I want to paint my office a different color, or that artwork piece that I've had my eye on, or bring some fresh new plants into the space. Maybe your space is well organized, but you're wanting to refresh it or add something or delete something, right? Sometimes the way we inspire space is take something out. It's just tuning into your own physical space. So in this blank sheet of paper at the top, I want you to write the question, does this inspire me or expire me? Does this inspire me or expire me? And we're going to go through some different parts of your home that you can look at, and we're going to ask this question to. And next to each category we go through, I want you to either write the word inspire or expire, or a plus sign or a negative sign, or a smiley face or frowny face, however you want to give yourself some feedback. And again, we're just going to observe this. We're not judging it. But it's just to look at. Now, as I ask this question, some of you might love the space that it's currently out of order, right? So it might be, I love that space. It inspires me, but it needs support right now. And you may want to indicate that. But we're going to go through and just do a quick inventory of some of your physical spaces and have some clarity here. And then each of us are going to commit to one space this week for 1 hour. If you choose to do more than 1 hour, that's up to you. But with your accountability partner, I want you to share the space you're working on. And you might choose your home office desk or your clothes closet or your car or your inbox or your pantry or whatever you choose to put your intention on. That's up to you. But we're just going to go through and do some of these categories. We're all going to commit to one space this week that we're going to put at least an hour into. So let's look at your overall home, whether you're in a home, an apartment, a townhome, wherever you're living currently. As you drive up to this space, pull in the driveway or the carport, as you drive up to this space, does this space overall inspire you or expire you? Does it inspire you or expire you? And you come through the front door and say your living room, your entryway. Does this space, write that space down, right? So we wrote overall home and inspire, expire. As you come into your living room, does this space inspire you or expire you? Your kitchen space. Does your kitchen inspire you or expire you? Okay. Your fridge currently, does it inspire you or expire you? Or maybe it needs to be cleaned out. You could also add pantry here too if you'd like. And I know that's with we're in the same category, but you might want to look at some of these specific things. Does it currently inspire you or expire you? Okay, write down for me your bedroom where you sleep. Does your bedroom currently inspire you or expire you? Your bathroom where you get ready. Does your bathroom space inspire you or expire you? Your closet space, and I realize you might have a dresser and a closet. You may want to combine those or have them two separate. But does your closet space inspire you or expire you? Okay, I'm just going to go through a few more rooms that you might have additional rooms you want to add. But you might have a den, right? I said a living room, and that might be the same thing. But a den for you or a basement, does that space inspire you or expire you? Your garage, if applicable. Not all of you have a garage, but if you have a garage, does your garage space currently inspire you or expire you? Okay. Your car, and you may not be driving your dream car, and you might not be living in your dream home, but all of you deserve to live and work in space that you love and that inspires you. that your current vehicle on the inside, does it inspire you or expire you? Okay. You may also want to look at your current inbox. You may have said, oh, Tiff, that hurts. My inbox hurts me right now, too. It needs to be stored. But think about your inbox. Does it inspire you or expire you? Again, if you want to list any other spaces, one more. I want to make sure we capture your office space. You might have a home office, like I'm in mine right now, or you might have a physical office you travel to. You might have both. But your office space, does it inspire you or expire you? Inspire or expire your office space where you're creating, where you're making money, where you're doing business. Here's the thing, love. You heard me say on week one that everything is energy. You know, we were talking in detail about your self-care habits and investing in you. Well, your physical space that you're in absolutely has energy too. And that's why we're so conscious and why I'm aware of it is let's increase the energy. I know that for myself, when I have clean sheets on my bed, my bed is made, my bedroom is peaceful, it's like more of a sanctuary and a place that I can rest. Similar with, you know, again, my refrigerator and pantry, when they're clean and organized and my kitchen's clean, man, I love to be there and I love to cook or bake when my kitchen is clean and things are lovely and organized. And when I'm in my office and there's maybe some fresh flowers and my desk is clean and there's a flow and harmony to that, man, it just invites me to like sit in there and play and let's create and so forth. And so I just invite us to think about this. So, you know, again, everything's energy. And one of the things in Success Principle 28 that Jack talks about is that your physical or psychological space, both are applicable here, sometimes need to be cleaned out. We need to release. We need to let go. And I'm going to invite you to ask yourself that. What do I need to let go of or what do I need to clean out? I love that we're doing Success Academy together in the spring, right, and that spring cleaning vibe. And that we may want to think about it in that way is like, hey, we're moving into a new season. You're ready to rank advance in your company or attract a new leader or get a book publishing deal or ready to get promoted at your office or be healthier and in shape or have better relationships or attract a new relationship. Well, then some of that for sure is saying, okay, well, let's clean out the space. Let's make our space more harmonious. That might also be emotionally for you too. Energetically, there might be a grudge you're saying, I need to let that go and clean that up, as well as I need to clean out my closet. But everything's energy, and you deserve, again, to live and work in space that you love. You absolutely do, and it helps put you in a better vibration to set you up to receive. Can I go deeper on one other topic here under this? I want to talk about your clothing and your clothes closet. And I know we're right at time. We're over by a few minutes. We're going to keep going here for just a few more minutes. But if you can stay with me, we'll probably be here till 10 after the hour, about 6 more minutes. If you need to go, totally understand. Just come back and catch this in your recording. But I want to keep this content moving because there's a few other pieces that I think are valuable. But many, many, many years ago, when I was working for Rich Dad Coaching, I enrolled a woman who is a professional organizer, and she's even done lots and lots of these cable television shows where they help people with the hoarding and the cleaning out and the space and the closet organization. And I remember she said something to me that I'm still remembering all these years later and sharing with you. And she said something similar about clothing, about we deserve to live and work in space we love. Similar with your clothing, it's that your body and who you are and what we're placing upon it ideally is a vibration that feels good to you, right? And she said, unless it feels like a 10, Tiff, I want you to let it go out of your closet. I want you to let it go if it doesn't feel like a 10. Now, that doesn't mean everything is high, hot couture and high-level design and meaning big name brands and things like that. I mean, my own closet has, you know, I love, you know, some T-shirts and clothes from Target, which I love, and Old Navy up to Louis Vuitton or Gucci or things like that. I have the whole mix in my closet. And to me, it's more energetic decision-making to say, okay, you know, does this bring me joy? Some of you may have read or heard of Marie Kondo's work around organizing. She has a whole Netflix series, but a really popular book, it was a best-selling book years back, called The Magic Art of Tidying Up. right? So again, we're all doing this for flow and putting us into flow. I'm not a professional organizer. I've hired them. They've done a lot of great things for me. But I am absolutely focused always on studying on success and energy and habits. And so one of those things that her name is Star said to me is, again, clean out your closet from your sleep clothes and gym clothes to what you're wearing on a regular basis to the office, at home. If it doesn't feel like a 10, get rid of it. So as you go through your closet, I invite you to look at each item, you know, in different things and ask yourself, does it inspire me or expire me? Another great discernment question is, would I pay full price for this item today? Now, a few things with that. Some might say, I'm not sure, I get stuck. I hear you and feel you, right? I live in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I'm home-based, and we have four distinct seasons. So I just did this like a week or two ago where I traded out my full fall and winter clothing wardrobe for my spring and summer, right, as we're in transition. Some pieces stay with me the whole year, but I definitely have, you know, a winter wardrobe where there's sweaters and boots that get worn and fall and autumn alongside of that, and then spring and summer where you're more in sandals and different color schemes and patterns and things like that. So I've just currently done this where I have a whole bag, too, actually, of clothing and shoes that I really haven't worn in a long while that are going to go off to Goodwill, right? And I think that's so good for us to do, but to go through your items, and if it doesn't feel great to you, if it's too small or too large, let it go. Or if you just don't love it and you're not wearing it, let it go. And even if that means you only have, you know, 10 or 12 things in your closet that you can wear, I'd rather have you have things that you just love. Again, that you feel great in, whether it's a cute T-shirt. I love T-shirts and jeans, right? I can be super, just love the casual type experience. So then the really pretty fun stuff too. So it isn't, again, about the high design. It's just about, like, do I feel great in this? And if it's not a yes, then let's let it go. And she's like, I mean that for your sleep clothes and gym clothes as well. And sometimes we just hold on to things, right, because they technically are still intact. But I'm asking you to also look at your life, and I'm here to help you up-level your vibration. And one of the ways I'm conditioning you to do that is in this conversation. Is that's what we're doing with the self-care, is we're up-leveling your vibration, that you feel better more often. You feel more self-trust and self-love. It's somewhere with, again, your clothing or accessories, your style. Let go of the things that no longer inspire you or light you up, or that you don't feel great in, right? And then there's, again, some great direction questions in the Success Principles chapter, Principle 28, that you can also read up on this as well. But I invite you to consider doing that. Maybe it's time to do a closet overhaul. Let it go. If it doesn't inspire you, you're not wearing it, you haven't worn it in years especially, right? I get sometimes for me 6 months isn't a great discernment question because we're so seasonal here. But if it's been several seasons that I haven't worn that sweater, right, or those boots or those sandals, or I just don't love it, or maybe it's got a button missing, either commit to get it fixed and you can delegate that or do it yourself, or let's donate it. Let's let it go. And someone that would love it, right, and would wear it and utilize it, is just to be more conscious about what's in our space, what's in our closets, what goes on our body. Is you deserve to feel good, love. You really do. And I loved when I worked with her about permission to just be like, ah. Because, again, a lot of, you know, again, wanting to be a wise steward about things. And while it's technically still in good condition. Yeah, it's in good condition, but you never wear it, so it just takes up space. Another thing I just want to say here, and then I'm going to be wrapping this up pretty quickly, is if it inspires you, some of you keep clothing that you no longer fit in. If that inspires you, where every time you see it, maybe it's a certain pair of jeans or it's a certain dress, and it inspires you, meaning like, hey, I want to lose weight and get in better shape to get back into that. If that inspires you, great. But if it doesn't, let it go. Because for most people, I don't think it inspires them. They see it and it reminds them, oh, I can't fit in that. And even for a millisecond, it brings up that negative feeling. Let's let that go. Let's get that out of your space. And somewhere on the flip side, I've known people who've lost weight and gotten in shape, and they keep a lot of clothing that no longer fits. It's too large. But they're going to hold on to it just in case. No. Get rid of it. Let it go. One of the things that Jack says in his material about this is he says, when we hold on to items we no longer use or are not currently using, It's as if we're saying to ourselves in the universe, we don't trust ourselves that we can manifest it in the future, right? So if that dress you haven't been able to, or those jeans you haven't been able to fit into for years, let them go. And when you're like, well, yeah, but gosh, my goals are, and I lose this weight, I'm down a dress size, or I can, great, let's go buy a new one, right? That kind of thing. And again, this is all personally directed. I'm not saying you have to do it. If it inspires you, then feel free to keep it. But if it brings you down even in the slightest, or makes you feel bad about yourself in the slightest, or encourages some negative self-talk in the slightest, I'm wanting you to become your very own best friend, your best advocate for yourself, that you deserve to live and work in space you love. I love the space I'm in right now, my home office, not that you'll be surprised, is painted blush pink, cream, white, and then gold accents. I love this space. I love being here. And if you know me, you know that I'm madly in love with blush pink, right? Maybe a little too much sometimes. I'm even wearing it at the moment. I just looked down. I didn't know that. But the reality is you go, okay, but putting yourself in that kind of space. So I love this conversation. One of your assignments this week, again, is to pick a space. And if you don't know where to start with your bedroom. I want you to create more sanctuary where you sleep, or your office space where you create. I know for me, I'm going to participate with you this week. I'm going to clean out my car on the inside. It's been a really busy week, and there's been several items that have been, you know, placed in there and so forth. That's the first space I'm going to take on. But you take on the space. I'm going to ask that in the Facebook group. I'm actually curious what space you're going to be organizing this week. Again, I'm asking for 1 hour. If you want to do your sock drawer or your makeup drawer, you know, or you want to work on your fridge or your closet or whatever that looks like for you, feel free to pick that. But enjoy working with both of these principles this week. Being more intentional with your time. When's your office hours, right? What are your top priorities? Where do they live in your schedule? We're going to practice time blocking. You're going to practice managing those distractions. You're going to practice picking two priorities for the day, one personal, one business. And you're going to commit to organizing or beautifying one space this week that helps you nourish a more harmonious environment. Again, some of you might say, gosh, my office space or my home is well organized. I'm in a good flow with that. But I want to bring in some fresh flowers or a plant, or I've been wanting to get this artwork thing done or put up, something like that. But you can also be about being intentional with your space, intentional with your calendar, intentional with your space. We love being with you here this morning. I'm looking forward to our coaching session. We're back on this Wednesday at the exact same time for our coaching Q&A session. And again, final reminder, too, about Mindset Makeover. If you've not yet registered for that, you'll want to do so. That kicks off tomorrow. Even if you can't be there live, you need to get registered so you get those recordings. But it has its own workbook and its own experience for this 30-day journey. And I invite you to share that with a friend or a team member in your life. Mindset is the foundational engine, right? And it's such a rich, juicy course, and they get to pick their own price point. And I only do that once a year, so it's an awesome opportunity that they can get engaged in that course and in that work. Have a great rest of your Monday, my loves. If I can be of service or support to you, please feel free to reach out, and I'll see you guys and look forward to connecting with you on Wednesday and in our Facebook group in the interim. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.